All right.
All right.
Thanks, Pat. And shoeless. I almost want to be shoeless. Wearing boots the whole time. My feet are hot. That's good. All right. How's it going? Is anybody, you guys awake yet, or are you tired again? My coffee ran out. I should have gone to Timmy's and got some more. All right. Just for the next couple minutes when we're chatting today, I just want to change pace a little bit, change the tone a little bit from what we were doing before. And I want to do two things. First, I want to answer some questions that maybe you guys have been talking and bringing up with your leaders or things that they've noticed, and maybe try and clarify some things or help you guys understand things a little bit more. If you guys have any questions, anytime you can just raise your hand and I'll answer you. And the second thing I want to do is just have an honest conversation about talking to people about Jesus. Not a big preachy message about how you should go out and do it or why you need to go out and do it, but just some things that I've learned and noticed about and struggles that I've had with doing that, because it's one thing to know you're supposed to, hey, I'm supposed to talk to people about Jesus, another thing to actually go and do it. So, you know, all those kinds of things. So that's kind of where what I want to do for the next couple of minutes. Is that cool?
Cool.
Okay. All right. And I had one person ask me, they want me to share a funny story, so I will have a funny story. I will work into an analogy that I was hoping I'd be able to share. Hopefully it's as funny as I think it is, because it was funny in the moment. All right. So one of the questions that I got was just, how do you be in the story, right? I'm talking about this idea of the story. How do you be in the story? How do you get caught up in this idea of the story? And it's both a really simple answer and a difficult one. Because when it comes to being in a relationship with Jesus, when it comes to being a part of something, it really is as simple as just asking Him and saying, hey, in your heart, yeah, I want this to be real and I want to be doing this. But that can be kind of hard for us sometimes to get our heads around, because we, especially in our culture, we like things that we can control or things that we can do, right? We're always on devices and on phones playing video games. We want to just be able to push a button and, you know, hit enter, hit send, you know, hit pause, you know, whatever. We like things like that. And it's the same with, and I've struggled with that at times, is like, sometimes, man, God, you're asking me to do this. I wish I could just, you know, hit a button and just be done with it, and that it would just be done. And really, it's not necessarily that simple. It's like a relationship. You got to look at this in terms of a relationship. How do you build a relationship with somebody? Spend time with them, yeah. You actually have to talk to them. You don't actually, I'm going to burst your bubble now in case maybe you haven't found this out already. You can't actually have a boyfriend or girlfriend just by texting. Because here's what will happen. Here's what will happen, and I'm telling you the honest truth because it happened to me, okay? Closest, first, I only ever dated one person who's my wife. I almost dated one other girl, but we met each other at camp, and we texted all the time. And then when we met up at Wonderland randomly one time, we had nothing to say. Because texting takes 4 or 5 hours or all night, and really it's only 5 minutes of conversation. And it's also really easy because you're not in front of the person, and you get to think about it. You don't actually have a relationship with the person. And so you have to think about this whole thing as, think of it as a relationship, and you got to think of it as an adventure. And so you have to build that relationship. So first, really simple, to be in the story, you just have to believe and say, yes, I want to be a part of it. And to do that, then you have to find out what it means to be a part of it and to start doing it. That's as simple as it is. Just like anything else in life. This is no different than anything else in life. If you're a fan of a sports team, or you're a fan of a video game, or a music band, or whatever, you start learning about them, you start collecting their stuff, their music, you know, you watch them on TV, all those things. It's the same thing with being a Christian being. You start finding out about Jesus and about what this is like, and you start building your life around that, right? Just like you get those crazy Leafs fans, who doesn't make any sense, but everything in their house is Maple Leafs, and everything they wear is Maple Leafs, even though they suck, and they lose, and they are now at their They've tied their franchise. What is it? They've tied their franchise record for straight losses since the last time they won the cup, which was how long ago? You know, there's a really funny YouTube video that's parodying. You know the song "Say Something, I'm Giving Up on You." There's a YouTube video. If you YouTube it, it's a Leafs parody, and it's "Do Something, I'm Giving Up on You." Trade someone, I'm giving up on you. Fantastic. I'm not a Leafs fan. Okay. So it's relationship. And so any like questions you have about like, well, how do I do it? Or how do we do this? How do this? You just kind of have to try it, do it. Take some steps. And it's a relationship that you build over time. Relationships at first, when you first make a friend or talk to someone, it's awkward. Right? If you sit down with someone you've never met before or talked to before, it can be kind of awkward at first. Right? But then over time you build that friendship and it grows, it becomes more intimate. And that's what it's like. So praying, talking to God, sometimes it's awkward. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. It sounds awkward when I talk to God compared to these other people. It's because you just got to work at it. Okay. The other thing to look at, and this has to do with, you know, how do you leave your old life behind? How do you get or receive these things from God? How do you apply it to your lives, the other things? Christianity is also an adventure, okay? And that's why I'm trying to talk about it as a story. I'm trying to talk about it as more than just a bunch of rules and a bunch of things that you do. Because Christianity can be the most exciting thing in your life. It really can. Following Jesus can be the most exciting thing in your life. It can be an adventure. How many of you have gone on an adventure and when you started, you had no idea where you were going to end up or what was going to happen? You've gone out with friends, and at the end of the night, you're like, whoa, that was crazy. I was not expecting that to happen. Okay? Okay, I will share an adventure that I had that I think is awesome. It may or may not have been legal, but it doesn't matter. I know it couldn't have been strictly illegal, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's not bad. It's not bad. That makes it sound bad. Okay, so first year Bible college, I took some buddies of mine, and we were done. We had a weekend before exams. We were done studying or tired of studying, so we went. I had them over to my parents' place in Collingwood. And we just wanted to hang out. We were, you know, playing video games, hanging out with people. We hung out with some of my friends from church. And one night when we're hanging out with them, randomly this friend of mine, this girl goes, hey, you know what you guys should do? You guys should go walk up Blue Mountain. I don't know if, have any of you guys heard of Blue Mountain? It's like this big ski resort in southern Ontario. Okay? It's a big, huge ski place. It's like 20 minutes from where my parents live, where I grew up. You guys should go walk up there because the snow is mostly melted and people lose money and stuff. When they're skiing, it falls out of their pockets, and you can walk up the mountain and just find it once the snow's melted. So we're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. You know, we're poor college students. We have nothing better to do. You know, who cares about a little mud? Maybe we'll find some money to help pay off our debts, right? Or spend it on pizza. And so we're like, okay, so the next day, me and my three buddies, we go, and we drive over to Blue Mountain, and we don't even, like, we've never done this before. She said it was legal. She said you're allowed to just walk up the mountain. We don't know. So we go over and we kind of look around. We just start walking up and looking for stuff, and we're looking for stuff. We spent like 3 hours. We found a quarter and a bunch of beer, which we smashed because you guys don't, no one else needed to find that. So, and we're bored. So we're just goofing off on an adventure. We don't know what's going on. You know, like we're just out. We have no agenda. We're not planning anything. We're just walking around in the mud. Then we get to the top. And what do we find? We find this giant corrugated like plastic sign. It's a trail map, so it's huge. And it had fallen off and broken off of its posting. And then this light bulb goes off. Be like, what if we took this giant sign and tobogganed down the mountain on it? What would happen? What would happen? We have no idea. It doesn't have a string you can hold on to. It doesn't have brakes. And there's just patches of snow. So I thought, let's just do it. YOLO, right? Let's just do it. So we hop on. We all get, all four guys, we kind of get on it. Push off, we start going. It's awesome. So we're going down, and we start picking up speed. This is pretty fun. Then all of a sudden, we're going so fast that the snow starts spraying up, and it blinds you. You can't see it. We can't see a thing. Okay? So we don't know if we're going to go off the edge of the thing into the trees. We don't know. We can't see a thing. And then it starts spinning. And it starts turning. And so we can't see, and we're spinning, and we're turning. And we're just going down, we're freaking out. And then just smack, we hit mud, And we fly down like another like 30, 40 feet down the mountain, just rolling in mud. It's awesome. We get up, nothing's broken, nothing's bruised. What do? You do it again. It was awesome. It was an adventure, right? Like, why not? Why not run up there, grab it, and try and do it again, right? Even though we're covered in mud, our clothes are probably ruined. If someone sees us, they probably get mad at us, right? We don't care, so we hop on, we do it again. We do it again, we do it again, then we just like run away. And we get back to our car and we're so soaked in mud. I should have got the pictures. We're so covered in mud that my buddy's like, "You're not getting in my car with your clothes on." So we're in the parking lot and he makes us strip down and put our dirty jeans and stuff in the trunk, get in the car and go to my parents' place. And what do when we get back to my parents' place, we get out of the car and we're trying to put our pants on, my mom comes out of the front door. "Oh, did you guys have fun?" I'm like, "Mom, can't you look first?" So, that's my funny story. But it was an adventure that we went on, and we had no idea what was going to happen. We were not anticipating. I don't even think we brought enough clothes. We didn't bring a clean change of clothes, so we had to do all our laundry. Because it was just an adventure, and we got started with this idea of, hey, let's just go out and do this. And it just turned into something crazy and unexpected, and it was a lot of fun. And it's a memory that we still talk about. And Christianity is often like that. Life with Jesus is like that. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it even seems boring. Like, we're walking up this mountain and we're not finding anything. Like, thanks. Thanks to my friend who said that you're going to find all kinds of money walking up there. But at the end of it, it ended up being this crazy adventure that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Like, no one plans that. No one plans to have that, right? And some of the best adventures you have are things that you don't plan or that you don't expect. And that's a lot of what life with Jesus is about. Okay, and that is how you get things. Another thing that was kind of coming up was, how do you get things from your head to your heart? How do you do that? That's a really important thing, a really hard thing. How do you actually, like, the things that we're singing up there, how do you sing that and really mean it? How do these things that we know, how do you really feel it and let it change yourself? How do you get things from head to heart? And again, it just goes back to relationship. Like, as you build a relationship with someone, you begin to love that person and want to do things for that person, and you become like that person. It's amazing when people start dating over time, the people change and they get their own little language, and like two people, they go on, they're completely different, and then by the time you get married, you have changed each other and you communicate with each other in a different way. And that comes with building a relationship. And so you talk with the person. You have to talk with Jesus. If you want things to go from your head to your heart, you actually have to talk with Jesus. You actually have to spend some time with him and hang out with him. It's like, how do you do that? Well, you just sit somewhere alone and hang out with Jesus. Right? This is why it can seem kind of weird, but it actually happens. It actually works. You got to do things with them. You got to go out and, you know, serve other people and spend time worshiping him. You got to do stuff. And you got to pay attention and figure him out. And so, what does that mean for you guys? It means you guys need to tune out distractions. You guys got to turn off your phones. You guys need to shut off the TV and the Xbox and the Wii. You've got to get off Facebook. You've got to unplug. Because there's so much stuff that wants your attention all of the time, that how can you talk to God and hear from God if your ears are already full of other things? And that is a hard thing. That's the thing that I wrestle with, is like, how do I find time? You know, and life is only going to get busier. And there's only ever going to be more things demanding of your time. And it's when we find time to just be with Jesus that's where it goes from head to heart. And for me, I went through a really long period of time where I was just thought I was so busy that I just didn't have time to just sit and spend time with Jesus and to just think about some of these things and pray with him and talk to him and listen to him with some of these things. And what ended up happening is I knew everything up here, but my life wasn't looking at least how I was feeling, and I was getting really like anxious about it and stressed about it. Because I'm sure lots of people thought that my life was great on the outside, but I was starting to become more of an angry person, more of a frustrated person. I was giving in to temptation, to different things a lot more. I just couldn't seem to enter into worship and all these things, and it's because I had stopped just hanging out with God and listening to him, and actually just spending some quality time with him by myself. And I just knew it all up here. And then it's frustrating because, oh, I know this, but I'm doing it anyways. And it's because you just got to actually take the time. Okay? This isn't like a digital thing where you can just type it in and check it off. It's a real relationship with a real person that takes real work and real time. But it's a wonderful thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. It really is, which is why I've just tried to talk about, like think about the things that we've talked about and how awesome it is and what you get with those things. Okay. The one other question that came up was, it's really difficult to let go of things when Jesus, like, what is Jesus, when we're talking about, you know, the moving in with that person, with that celebrity, and how you have to leave things behind and how some of those things are valuable, like friends or your family or your boyfriend or girlfriend, things that you perceive as really valuable. How do you leave some of those things behind? Or does Jesus even want you to leave some of those things behind? And so here, I'm going to read a really quick story and talk about it, and then I have an analogy I'm going to get a couple people to help me with to maybe try and help. Have any of you guys heard the story of the rich young ruler? The rich young man, okay. This is a really intense story. Okay. So this is Jesus. This guy comes and talks to Jesus, okay? And this is what happens. So, and as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Right? So this rich guy comes up to Jesus and says, "What do I have to do to be a part of this? What do I need? What do I need?" And he says, "Well, you know what you're supposed to do. You know all the right and wrong things to do. Right? You know what's right. You know what's wrong." And the guy says, he says, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, so he's saying, yeah, I know everything that's right and wrong, and I'm doing them all. I'm actually doing what's right. I'm not doing this wrong. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "Go," "with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers or sisters, or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." It's a really intense story. Jesus wants everything. Jesus asks for everything. What he promises to give you is far beyond anything you will ever get in return. It really is. And a lot of times, the things that we are so trying to hold on to, well, what if I can't let go of this relationship? I love this person so much. But what we don't understand, and I'm going to show this analogy, is that we're blinded and we don't actually see how much better, that there's something waiting for us that is just so much better. And a lot of times, it's not even about giving up things. Like, Jesus isn't saying to all of you, you need to give all your money away and just be poor and homeless. What Jesus is saying is, you can't have anything that is more important than me. I have to be the most important thing. And everything else falls under that. So if I could have Pat and Ben, could you come up? And Noah? I'm going to explain this another way really easy, okay? Okay. At least this worked in my head before we did this. Okay. So when there's something that you care about so much and you go, "Oh, but God, why are you asking me to give this up? Why are you, like," and you stress about it, okay? It's kind of like a human pyramid. An analogy only goes so far, but here's how I want to explain just how it doesn't actually make sense that we get so stuck on some of these things. We get so worried about some of these things, okay? And we go, but my life is so good with this thing that I have, right? God, like, can't I just have you and this thing, or I can't leave this, right? It's basically like a human pyramid, okay? So how do you make a human pyramid? Well, normally the big guys get on the bottom, and the little guy gets on top. No, but Noah, you're going to get on the bottom.
Oh, I like this.
And you guys are going to get on top.
All right.
I'm just kidding. You don't actually. Okay. But that doesn't make sense. That makes zero sense. Why would you have a human pyramid with the weak, small, young guy? I'm sorry. But comparison to these guys, right? You probably don't want them on top of you, right? But these things that you were holding on to that are so valuable and so important to you are really like Noah. If you were counting on them to hold your life up and to hold your life together and to be the important thing in your life that is so valuable to you and is going to make you happy and fulfill you, it's like having Noah on the bottom. Whereas if you put God and say, no, you know what? That doesn't matter as much. And the foundation of my life, the base of my life is going to be Jesus. It's like getting Pat and man. Is it Manny? Is that what people call you? I always get confused. I'm sorry. On the bottom and Noah on top, right? And so it's about priority and it's about order. And sometimes it means giving something up for a little bit of time. But having God on the bottom, everything makes more sense. Okay? Okay, you can get down.
Do we have to?
Yes. Okay. Does that kind of make sense? It's first things first. It's God. God wants to be first. He needs to be first. And if He's not first, nothing you ever hear in church, nothing you ever hear in youth group, nothing you ever read in the Bible is ever going to make sense. Nothing in your life is ever going to make sense. Everything ultimately at the end of the day will fall apart. Because what is on the bottom, what is the base, is not strong enough to hold it. Okay? Cool. Okay. And we're just really quickly, we're going to talk really quickly about, and I'll share a little bit about talking to people about Jesus. Is that cool? And then we'll talk about it in our small groups some more. Okay. What is the hardest thing about sharing your faith? Think about that. What is the hardest thing for you to tell when it comes to talking to people about Jesus? What is the hardest thing? For me, pride for sure. I want you guys to really discuss this in your small groups, okay? Because I'm going to be quick. For me, the things that have been hardest for me have been being really worried about I'm going to say the wrong thing, I'm going to say it the wrong way at the wrong time, I'm going to sound dumb, or I'm going to make things worse, I'm going to ruin the opportunity, I'm going to ruin it for the person. The other thing I've struggled with is at times I'm just not feeling like I'm close enough to God. Like, oh, I feel like I'm faking it this week. So how could I talk to someone about Jesus? I'm just being a hypocrite, right? Not feeling it. Oh, I've messed up. I've sinned. And or I feel like I don't know enough. And those are some real things. And there's other things that are for people make it really hard when it talks about like sharing my faith. People need to talk. And we'll hear sermons. And if you read the Bible, Jesus says you got to tell people. But it's hard. Because those fears and those kinds of things can really get in the way. And so. Just some things that I have learned that have helped me, okay? The first thing is you can take the pressure off. There's actually you don't need to feel any pressure or any guilt or any frustration about whether or not you're doing it right or wrong or if you should be doing it. Because, first off, God is never judging you and never standing there going, oh, you didn't say that right. Oh, you didn't say that right. Oh, you got that wrong. He's not. Actually, there have been times where honestly, you can say something like I've preached a message and someone has come up to me later and told me about how God spoke to them in this way and this way and this way, and afterwards I'm like, I didn't say any of those things. None of those words came out of my mouth. And it's because God is the one who is working and is teaching and is speaking to the people. And so it's actually God who saves people. You don't save anyone. You can't convince anyone to become a Christian. So you don't have to worry about whether you're smart enough or whether you know enough or whether you're going to get it right, because ultimately, it's not actually you who's doing it. It's God who is using you and is working in you and is working in that person. Don't expect instant success. It's not on your timeline. It's on God's. You could talk with someone for years about Jesus and never seem like you're getting anywhere with them. And then all of a sudden they're out of your life and you never see them again. Does that mean you fail? No. Because again, it's about Jesus and them. It's not about you and them. When I was in high school, especially in grade 12, I was really talking with a lot of my friends about Jesus. And they actually ended up calling me Pastor Pilks because I was going to Bible college and they knew that. And I gave a bunch of them Bibles and stuff. And I didn't see any of them become Christians at the time. And some of them now, actually following them, I've seen them kind of regress and become worse, which is sad. But it's not, I got to know that it's not on my timeline. It's not about me. I've done my part. I've said things. I've done my best. And God is the one who will bring other people into their life and other circumstances and will work on them. And sometimes God saves people in like their dreams. My parents have friends who they were passed out on drugs in a park in Vancouver, and God appeared to them in a dream and spoke to them, and they woke up sober and became Christians and have been different ever since. Like, you don't know what God is going to do or what God can do. And it's crazy. And the other thing is, you don't know who you're influencing. When you are living your life, and this is why we've talked about being caught up in the story and believing the story, like, you have to talk about the story of Jesus. When you're, like, what do you say to people? Tell people about Jesus and about what he's done. And tell people and show people what he's doing in your life. Right? Live in the story and tell people the story. And you never know who you're going to influence. Not one of my friends when I was in high school actually became a Christian when I was talking to them. But then, after the summer, grade 12, when I started Bible college, we went on a retreat to a camp named Medeba, and they have a leadership program. And when I was there, and we were doing our thing, they have like, you know, people our age who are their year off of high school, they go and do this Christian leadership program, and they do stuff with you, and they go off in the wilderness and do things. And there was a girl from my high school who had a locker near me who was there, who I didn't know was a Christian the whole time I was in high school. I'm like, I didn't think you were a Christian. She's like, I wasn't, actually. But I saw you and I heard you talk in our classes and the way you treated people and the way you talked to people and some of the other Christians. And it really got me thinking and seeking God, and I found God here after coming here because of you guys. And so you don't actually know who you're influencing. I would have never known that if we hadn't gone to that camp and done that retreat. You just never know. The other thing, just love people. You don't need to judge people. You don't need to just tell people, oh, you need to change your life. You just need to love people and love people in a way that doesn't make sense. The way that God loves you. That's what God really wants us to do, is just to really love people. Okay? And to be able to love people like that, you've got to know that you're really loved by God and experience that love for yourself. Because it comes from God. It's about belonging and then believing and behaving. It's not about behaving first or even necessarily believing first. It's about showing people that they belong, and you need to know that you belong. And then they'll believe. And then once they believe and they're in a relationship with Jesus, people will start to change and to live like him. Another thing, don't ever try and force people. I'll share for another funny story. Don't ever try and force people to be Christians. Because again, you can't convince people. When I was like in elementary school, I was like super Christian. When I was up until grade 3, I was in a Christian private school. I didn't know there were people who weren't Christians because I lived pretty sheltered going to a Christian school, right? Then all of a sudden I go to a public school and there's people who are like, I don't go to church on Sunday. I'm not a Christian. So I'm like this, right? And it just like blew my mind, right? That people don't know Jesus, because I was really sick growing up and struggled with friends and being bullied and all kinds of things growing up. Like, I've had doctors laugh at my medical records because of how messed up they are. I was really sick. And so I had a lot of sick days, so I was never around school. So then how do you have friends when you're never around school? So then you're just a loner. But I always had Jesus with me. I had this relationship with Jesus. And so then when I met these kids who didn't know Jesus, I was like, you guys have to know Jesus. You have to know Jesus. And I got to the point where sometimes I was like, we're like in the library and I'm like, no, you're bowing your head and saying the sinner's prayer like right now. Like, no, close your eyes, bow your head. Because I was just so like passionate about it. But I really just stop and think and go, just be aware of the person and don't force the issue. Right? Because forcing it's never going to work. People need to be comfortable. They need to want to do it. So Don't ever try and force someone to become a Christian because they're not actually becoming a Christian. Okay? All right. Does that sound good?
Yeah. I think that's the idea. Sometimes we get Jesus in their heads, but never in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so all we can do is, the best we ever could do is just get Jesus in their brains. That doesn't do anything. Right?
Yeah. But the biggest thing is it's not about being obligated to. It's not about a thing you have to do. It's not like to be a Christian, you have to tell people about Jesus, even though Jesus tells us to do these things. It is about inviting people into the story. It is about believing and knowing the story and being caught up in it. And by being caught up, I mean like you believe it and you want to belong to it. It's like having your identity based around it. Some people, they're looking for something to belong, somewhere to belong, something to believe, something to attach themselves to. And so some people, they become the craziest sports fans. And some people, they get crazy into weird things. Like people will take Twilight so far that they will, you know, put on vampire teeth and do all kinds of weird things. Like, it happens, right? But those people, they're getting their identity from a book and from a story that's fictitious. And we need to get our identity from Jesus and from who He is and what He's doing. And we do that by spending time with Him, by being a part of a community, by loving people, by serving people. All those kinds of things, but it's a relationship. And it takes time, and it only gets better with time. Okay. So, evangelism, talking to people about Jesus, is just sharing Jesus' story, and it's sharing your story with words and actions of how He's working in your life and how you're a part of it. And then it's just inviting people to join. And it works. Because I had a student who in the summer, no church context, but just started coming to youth, and no one was preaching at her and trying to get her to become a Christian, but one day she was at Silver Birch's family camp, and just after being around all this for so long and hearing about God and seeing the love of God, she was just sitting there, and I went over and I asked her, like, what's going on? And she's just like, she was just at a place where she was just waiting for someone to say, hey, do you want to become a part of this? Because she's like, there's something about these people and I want this. And all I had to do was, hey, it's really easy to join in. Do you want to join in? I'm like, yeah, I want to join in. And we just prayed, and she's been at church and youth and all kinds of things ever since and been changing, and it's awesome. So, is that cool? All right. So let's pray and get into our small groups. Jesus, I love you, God, and I just thank you so much that you love me. You really love me. And sometimes I only get that stuck in my head, God, but when I take the time to really know it in my heart and just the depths of my being, God, that you love me, it changes me, God, because you value me. It doesn't matter if other people value me, you value me, God. And so I pray for everyone here, God, that we would just know you and know just how much you care about us and what you think of us and just everything that you have for us, God. Help us to live in a real relationship with you because you're a real God who really cares about us, God. And once that happens, God, I pray that you would open our eyes to all the people who are around us who don't know you, God. And that we would just have a heart, God, for people who don't know you and who aren't taking part in this, God. And that you would give us opportunities and wisdom and courage, God, and a passion for people. And that you would just help us to invite people into your story. Amen.